Hello and welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of The Good Robot Andes. My name is Andy Balaam.
And I'm Andy Cockerill.
And the film that we're going to be talking about today is...
Slow West.
Now,
there is something we should mention, actually, before we begin.
That?
We're in the same room.
It's a little weird.
Can we go back to the way it was now, please?
But so far, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to turn myself down. My summary of the plot of Slow West, given that I know nothing about it other than its title, is, well, I'm not sure I've got a summary. I've got, in my head, it's basically a mixture between the song Go West and the film Westworld, featuring killer robots in a theme park setting, which I really enjoyed, although it's one of those films that's really cool and also really boring at the same time.
Okay, well, it doesn't feature killer robots.
It doesn't feature killer robots. Do you have any feedback, by the way?
No, I just... we don't have feedback. I just peaked quite badly. I clipped quite badly when I was laughing, so I'm just turning myself down.
All right.
It doesn't feature killer robots, and it doesn't feature a rendition of Go West by the Village People.
Okay.
What it is...
Is Go West by the Village People?
Yeah.
Okay.
What it is a Western.
Right.
Directed by, this will probably tickle you, directed by a guy called John McClane.
Uh-huh. I've heard of such a man.
Not the one from Die Hard.
No.
He's actually a fictional character,
uh-huh.
Not a real person. directed by John McClane, who is a member, I think a founding member, of the Beta Band.
Never heard of them.
Who were a pop combo. So he's writer-director of this film.
Mm-hmm.
And Slow West is set in the Old West, sort of late 19th century, so post-American Civil War.
Right. And when was it made?
It came out this year, so I think it was made last year. So
I'm expecting it not to be as boring as that initially sounds.
It's yet another foray into the brand spanking new world of cinema.
Yeah, it's weird.
1970s and 80s, where we have been a little
like
bit
Westworld, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Incidentally, just digressing slightly, I believe there's a Westworld TV series in the works.
Oh, really? Based on the film?
I think based on the source, which is Michael Crichton.
Right. Oh, it is Michael Crichton,
yeah.
Like Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
He's basically redoing his
yeah,
ideas.
Yeah, Jurassic Park is a redo of Westworld.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing, only it's cowboys, not dinosaurs.
Yeah, robots are cooler than dinosaurs anyway. We should have left it at that.
Inherently cooler.
I think so, don't you?
Yeah, kind of. Although I did enjoy Jurassic World. I thought it was... Ooh, you have a squeaky chair.
Yeah, apologise for my squeaky chair.
It's not anything else. It's a chair.
Jurassic Park's okay, but Demon Seed...
That's not Crichton, though, is it?
It's a robot. It's more of a computer.
I found Demon Seed to be kind of leery and a bit rude, and I thought it was quite good, actually.
I like Demon Seed.
If pretty hokey.
Yes, but I like hokey.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it works, doesn't it, Demon Seed? Despite the best efforts of some of its content, it works. Anyway, we're digressing quite badly. So
it may happen more if we're in the same room.
It probably will. Which people will either find endearing or they'll just switch off.
Yep.
So Slow West is set in the Old West of America, late 19th century, post-American Civil War, in which a young man... played by Cody Smith McPhee, who was in the movie called The Road.
The Road.
Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah, Unending Misery. Yeah.
Unending Misery, but actually a great favourite of mine.
Yeah, well, for something that was Unending Misery, it was remarkably enjoyable.
I thought it was incredible. It was an amazingly powerful piece of work, The Road. I mean, it was, make no mistake, it is miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is miserable. But
and the more you think about it, the more miserable it is.
Yeah. Definitely, but I thought that it in the way that it depicted what was going on, we're not going to spoil anything about The Road, but there's a fantastic piece of misdirection in The Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the greatest in recent cinema history, but I don't want to go into what the details of that are. But so he was the young boy in The Road. Viggo Mortensen's son in The Road, and here he's older, you know, sort of like a teenager. And he's arrived in the new world. I suppose at that time. Is it still the New World? Colonized America? Probably not.
Yeah, when it was the New World.
He's arrived in America. He's searching for, he's Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
He plays a young Scots guy. He's searching for his long lost love,
right,
who's also Scottish.
Right.
And he knows that she's here somewhere. Unfortunately, there's a price on her head. Because she...
So where is here? Is he searching the whole of of America?
No, I think they're somewhere in California.
Right, okay.
And he knows where she is.
Right, okay.
But there's a price on her head. She committed a crime when she was in Scotland.
Oh, there's a price on her head from Scotland?
Yeah.
Okay.
A big one for the time, $2,000, which is a lot of money for back then. So she is obviously in demand by bounty hunters and ne'er-do-wells.
Okay.
One of these ne'er-do-wells, a bounty hunter named Silas, played by Michael Fassbender.
Right, who is popping up everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's good. Right. He's popping up everywhere. And I think the thing with Michael Fassbender is that he's popping up everywhere and I don't really mind because he's always good in everything that he does.
What was he in? Another worthy thing where he was playing a worthy.
Well, he's been in a couple of in all of Steve McQueen's movies.
Okay.
Steve McQueen, the director, not the deceased actor.
Yeah.
We should go into. We seem to be name checking people who are also other people in films.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's been in all of his films. There was a movie called Hunger, about the 1970s hunger strikers in Northern Ireland, in which he played Bobby Sands. He was then in a movie called Shame, about sex addiction.
Right.
And most recently, for Steve McQueen at least, most recently he was in 12 Years a Slave.
Right,
as a plantation owner, a psychotic plantation owner.
Right.
Terrifyingly psychotic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he's been in loads of stuff. I mean, he does
serious performances wherever he goes.
Yeah. But also, he's not afraid to tip his toe into the waters of commercial success with things like the X-Men, the revitalized X-Men franchise.
He's in that as well.
He plays a young Magneto in that.
Right, okay.
He was also in Prometheus.
Oh, that's a...
Yeah, that's David, the android.
It's like the worst film in the world ever.
Well, it's not, though, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no, it is.
But it is quite bad.
Name a worse film than Prometheus. We should have a competition. Right,
my goodness.
First listener competition.
Okay.
Send your answers on a postcard.
Yeah, or...
By which I mean, add a comment to the blog.
Yeah, to the blog, yeah.
Telling us a worse film than Prometheus, with justification.
Yeah.
And if you get it correct... I will mention...
And it's completely arbitrary whether we choose it or not.
I will decide whether or not it's correct. If you get it correct, I will mention it on the podcast. And to be honest, if you get it wrong, I will mention it on the podcast.
I think we should mention as many people as possible, just to prove that people are actually listening.
Yeah, well, if anyone is, perhaps they'd like to enter the competition.
We'll find out in our next episode, which, by the way, is our 10th episode. We've reached a milestone. Almost.
We haven't reached a milestone.
No,
you can't just say we've reached a milestone.
No, no.
Because we will reach a milestone.
We've penultimately reached a milestone.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That, what you said, yeah.
This is the sound of two people laughing in a room. So some silly jokes. So, yes, Michael Fassbender is this bounty hunter who recognises that the young lad, I'm just going to... pull out his name here. Jay is the young lad's name. Jay Cavendish.
Mm-hmm.
He recognises that in order to keep Jay alive, he needs to keep Jay alive in order to find this young lady called Rose who's got a bounty on her head.
Hang on. Who needs to keep who alive?
Silas the bounty hunter.
Right.
Recognises the fact that Jay knows where Rose lives.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't tell him this. He doesn't tell him that...
Right. Sensible.
I'm... coming along with you so that I can
kill her.
Kill your girlfriend and claim a bounty.
Right. Yeah.
So they go on a journey through the Old West.
Okay.
And along the way, they meet up with. I'm now looking at cast listings. They meet up with Payne, P-A-Y-N-E, played by an Australian actor called Ben Mendelsohn.
Right.
Who seems to be another guy who's popping up in loads of stuff lately
as
a ne'er-do-well. And he really is a ne'er-do-well.
Right.
You know, he makes Michael Fassbender's ne'er-do-weldom look quite pale by comparison.
Uh-huh.
And he has a gang of other ne'er-do-wells
right.
who all wear kind of natty clothes and look a bit dirty and scummy. And And guess what? They're also after the bounty.
Okay.
So everybody's heading in the same direction. And okay. Jay, until about two-thirds in... Yeah, probably the final third of the film is unaware of the fact that...
That they're all coming along.
They're all converging uh-huh. on this one farmhouse in the middle of nowhere. Where Rose is living with her father. I'm looking up his name now. Her father. Oh, my goodness me.
I'm not too bothered what he's called.
Okay. So her father is played by Rory McCann.
Which is a name I recognise.
Who is in Game of Thrones.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a character called the Hound.
Right, now, Game of Thrones is a mystery to me.
Okay. So he normally appears in Game of Thrones, but in this, he appears as like a regular kind of character.
Okay.
This Rose's father. Along the way, Silas and Jay wander into a store, which gets held up by a couple of desperate, they look like Russian immigrants.
Right.
Silas just sits and watches what's going on. You know, he's like, I'm not going to get involved in this. Mm-hmm. What's about to go down? And there's sort of bloodletting. And that's sort of Jay's first brush with how the Old West can suddenly become incredibly
dangerous.
Violent, very right, violent right, right. and very dangerous.
Does
very
it also
quickly.
Teach him that maybe Silas isn't such a nice chap? Or
yeah, I mean, I think it shows him that Silas is capable of violence in himself mm-hmm. and chose not to get involved in this particular incident because it was none of his business mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and probably would have done if it had become his business.
Yeah, yeah.
But he chose not to get involved in it. And that's
so
a sort of...
He's just starting to become aware.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that maybe this guy is not the nicest man. But he hasn't actually shown himself up to be a bad guy yet.
Right.
They're all converging on this this farmhouse, and along the way they have an encounter with some Native Americans,
mm-hmm.
Which is not a good encounter,
mm-hmm.
but does result in a moment of comedy, in which the Native Americans want to steal their horses,
okay,
not realizing that their two horses are actually roped together,
right.
Because they've been drying their clothes on them, mm-hmm. as you do in the middle of the yeah. middle of the prairie. And so they steal their horses, and then the rope gets tangled around a tree, and they get thrown off the horses rather quickly and rather violently, uh-huh. Which is quite amusing.
Right.
So and that's a sort of moment of levity. There isn't actually much levity to be had in this film, uh-huh. to be honest. They converge on the farmhouse, and... the gang gets there first.
Okay, so the farmhouse is where they
Rose
think she is.
And her father are.
Okay.
So they are there.
Right.
And the gang find it first and
right.
begin to shoot the hell out of it.
Right. Because they just have to kill her. They don't have to...
They don't have to bring her back alive. Okay. Yeah, no, it's dead or alive, which means dead, basically.
Yeah.
It's going to be easier, isn't it? It's the same money.
Yeah.
They shoot the farmhouse to bits
mm-hmm.
and... Rose isn't defenseless. She can fire a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to defend themselves, they set the crop on fire that's
okay.
outside.
Right.
And that obviously does quite a lot of damage to the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Some of them get burnt or mm-hmm. you know, inhale smoke and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And her father is actually the first to get shot as mm-hmm. he's out fixing a fence and he gets picked off from...
Oh, okay. So he's out
from
of
distance.
Fixing.
He's out of it before okay. they even get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then Silas, you know, he tells Jay what's going on and he ties him to a tree and says, you just need to stay out of this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right.
You know, I'm sorry that this has happened, but you need to just stay out of this now.
Yeah.
Which, of course, Jay doesn't do. He manages to untie himself.
Yeah.
And he runs in. He manages to get around the back of the house in the middle of this farmland, runs in through the door. And Rose thinks he's one of the outlaws and shoots him.
Uh-huh. This is all very Romeo and Juliet.
Very much so, yeah. It's very much like, oh, no, that's not good.
Uh-huh.
So Jay is, you know, basically out of it now.
Right.
He's not dead yet. And then Silas turns up.
So she's seen off the other guys.
She's seen off the other guys, okay. And then Jay deals with Payne, the leader of the gang.
Right.
With his
great
dying,
name, by the way.
With his dying breath.
Okay.
Takes him out.
Okay.
So she's won.
Yeah.
And then there's a sort of fade to black and a fade up.
Mm-hmm.
And we see Silas in the cabin with Rose. And he seems to have built himself a new life in the middle of the prairie, decided not to kill her.
So he didn't kill her?
He didn't kill her.
He set
there.
Up home with her.
Yeah.
And Jay's dead.
Jay's dead. Yeah. I mean, it's...
And is that the end?
That's the end. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So... And it sounds really bleak, but what it has going for it is a really interesting visual style that you don't very often see in films of this kind.
Right.
So it brings, there's a lot of fixed camera, there's a lot of long takes, which again you don't see very often. And you know, in a film of this kind, you might see a lot of handheld, a lot of quick cutting and that kind of thing, but there isn't in this. And in that respect... It reminded me very much of, there's a Jim Jarmusch who made Ghost Dog.
Okay.
Where the Samurai, with Forrest Whitaker.
I think I've seen it and I felt like I should have liked it more than I did. I think maybe I need to see it again.
Jim Jarmusch is a bit of an acquired taste. You know, he's a properly indie filmmaker in America. Mm. You know, he's a properly independent guy. But he made, quite a long time ago now, there was a movie called Dead Man. With Johnny Depp,
don't think I've seen it.
Which is a western,
mm-hmm.
and Slow West is quite reminiscent of Dead Man
right.
in the way that it is. It's quite. I wouldn't say it's a slow movie. It's Slow West is 84 minutes. You know, it's under.
Wow, that
under
is short.
It is short, yeah, under an hour and a half.
That's already making me more likely to watch it.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy it, but so in its look and tone. It's quite interesting in that respect. And also the characters and the dialogue kind of draw you in, and also the music is very evocative as well.
So I'm still trying to figure out what it is. Is it basically the story of Jay trying to rescue Rose and then there's a bit on the end to slap you in the face?
Yeah, so it's a story
It's not the story of Silas, right?
It isn't really, but it becomes that story.
Yeah.
Because Silas used to run with Payne's gang.
Okay.
And he's done some bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a redemptive arc for Silas.
What? In which he's going to kill a girl, but then he kills the bloke instead. She killed him.
He doesn't. No.
Okay, so is the implication then that he's actually a really nice guy? And he just was looking after this poor girl.
I wouldn't have said he was a really nice guy. I think he would have done the deed, to be honest.
Except what?
Well, except the fact that he could stay there and he could just forget about the fact that he's a bounty hunter and become a farmer.
Okay, so basically if Jay was alive, he would have just killed
him. I think he probably would have done.
Okay, this is all your speculation.
This is my speculative take on it. You know, it doesn't lead you down the garden path in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite, it's ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that it deals with that. But, so yes, what was I saying? Yes, the visual tone, the music, the long takes, also the kind of saturated colour look of the film is very interesting and quite unusual. So there's a lot of very sharp focus looks at the landscape and also...
What's that all about? Is that just to look nice, or does it have a purpose in terms of telling a story? Or?
It's quite surreal.
Right.
So, instead of presenting a movie as like a thriller kind of thing, it sort of presents it in a kind of parallel universe look to it. So it doesn't.
Right.
It's a bit like our world, but it's just things just aren't quite right.
Right.
And that's really hard to describe in the way that it looks. But, you know, describing it to be similar to Jim Jarmusch's Dead Man, I'm also trying to think, whilst I'm talking about it, of another film that you might have seen or might have heard of, or maybe our listeners have heard of, that they could also get a handle on.
Right.
But I think, but I think what's most interesting about it is that this is someone's writing and directing debut.
Okay.
And in that respect, it's a really impressive piece of work.
Right.
Really, really impressive.
Right, and it's got all the elements. It's got the visual and the music and the,
yeah. Yeah, it's all been pulled together in a way that is quite striking for a debut.
So, do those the fixed camera? Are they like sideways on shots of landscape, and there happens to be something happening in front of it, kind of thing?
Sometimes.
So is that is that taking you out of the action in a similar way to other things we've talked about?
Well, what it does is it that's what contributes to the slightly surreal tone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, that kind of approach. I'm now thinking of yes, okay. So I've thought of a couple of examples of the work of Powell and Pressburger, who made movies in the mainly in the sort of 1930s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
One of the pioneers of color filmmaking in this country. So they made I'm going to pick out three films that you might have seen and also our listeners might have seen. There's a film called The Red Shoes, which is about ballet dancing. It's very similar to Black Swan, actually.
Right, which I haven't seen.
There's a movie called A Matter of Life and Death.
It rings a bell.
Okay. And there's one called Black Narcissus,
which I've definitely heard of. Okay. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen.
So these are all slightly surreal. Mm-hmm. In fact, A Matter of Life and Death is about a man, a pilot, a World War II pilot, a bomber pilot, I think, who dies, but is kept alive on an operating table in a hospital, and consequently is somewhere between life and life and death. Mm-hmm. Hence the title.
Right, right.
And the powers that be in heaven have to decide whether he's alive or dead.
Okay.
And that's the story, and it's a sort of it's metaphysical.
That sounds good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's interesting about A Matter of Life and Death. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's really cool about it, but what's really interesting is that the scenes in heaven are in black and white, and the scenes on earth are in colour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a kind of, you wouldn't expect it to
it's
be
kind of the
way.
Wrong way around, yeah.
But that's really interesting. So, and the Technicolour in it is just amazing. Right. You know, it's like in The Wizard of Oz where it goes from black and white to colour, and it's, you know, just incredible colour. So I would point to that. I would also point to... you know, Black Narcissus is about a group of nuns who are in I think they're in India, and they get sent to the Himalayas to this church that's, you know, way way up in the mountains, where no group of nuns has ever managed to go the distance in this place, because they get driven mad by the wind and the altitude, and that's a really interesting film. As well, so I would say that I'm actually putting Slow West in quite high regard there.
Right.
But it has something in common with the way that Powell and Pressburger used to compose and shoot stuff, which is just slightly off kilter with what reality is.
Right. And what's the purpose of that, do you think?
I think the purpose of it,
or the meaning of it, you know what?
Okay, so the meaning of it is to sort of it's interesting, you know, it draws you into the story.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
It doesn't sort of alienate you.
Mm-hmm.
It draws you into the story, and visually, it's just beautiful.
Right.
It's beautiful to look at.
Right.
And you can't really say that about many Westerns. You know, I find that, you know, John Ford, although he's massively highly regarded, he made so many Western movies. I sometimes find, or frequently find, his stuff to be kind of a bit boring to look at.
Right.
Whereas, I know that's probably heresy, and if anybody loves John Ford, they probably want to now put a contract out on me, but there you go.
£2,000.
Yeah. That sounds quite cheap, actually. But anyway, the idea of just shooting it so that it's, you know, very colour saturated and slightly off kilter with reality is interesting to look at, and sort of it shows that John McClane has a visual sensibility, as well as a good ear for dialogue.
Right, okay.
Which is refreshing to
and
see.
He wrote it as well.
He wrote and directed it.
So he must want to tell this story for some reason, which leads me on to my question.
Yes.
What's the point of it?
Okay.
What does it tell us about life?
Mm-hmm.
or something like that.
Okay, so what does it tell us about life? I think it tells us that no matter if you've lived a pretty rough existence and you've done some bad things, redemption might be around the corner.
Really? So you think the point is about Silas?
Yes.
Right.
I think it's his story.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Okay. And sometimes redemption may not be where you think it's going to come from.
Right.
And you might not even be looking for it.
Yeah. And it might not be very... That's not very comfortable, redemption,
I've got a squeaky chair too, by the way.
That's not very comfortable, redemption, is it? I mean, because it's on the back of...
Bloodletting. Yeah, massive amounts of bloodletting.
Yeah, you get to live life with a woman whose boyfriend was killed. Yeah. Basically your fault.
Basically your fault, yes.
Uh-huh.
Although, if... you could argue that Jay... if Silas hadn't found Jay, Payne probably would have done.
Right.
The other leader of the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he would have probably died in the same way that he did, or probably in a worse way,
mm-hmm.
central fate.
Okay.
Because Payne is not a nice man.
That's interesting. Okay. Cool. Well, yeah, that sounds... Do I want to watch it? Sounds all right. I mean, I like things that look nice.
It does look nice. And the performances are very good.
Right, right.
They're very, very good. So it's, you know, it's got visual sensibility, it's got a good script, it's got a good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
There's a track by a band called Django Django that I like very much.
Right.
They do the title track, actually, it's called Slow West.
Right.
Which is a kind of, it's kind of like modern classical music, but with Western type instruments. It's
okay.
Very good. So there you go.
Cool. Thank you very much.
It's okay.
Let's do some very quick plugging.
Oh yeah, plugging. Plug away.
Buy an Android game called Rabbit Escape.
Yes, buy it now.
Or download it for your PC. Help me write some levels. We're making new levels all the time.
How can people write new levels?
Well, at the moment, the way you do it... Well, if you download it for your PC, you have to... At the moment, you have to edit a text file to make new levels.
Mm.
But the PC version... like neatly loads in those levels and shows them to you. So it's slightly better than it was a while ago.
Okay.
Where you used to have to actually edit the program to.
So do you have to have programming experience in order to write new levels?
No, you don't. You absolutely don't need to have programming experience. But you have to be not scared of opening Notepad or whatever and seeing like hashes and lines and things. Basically, to design a level, it's like ASCII art, if that means anything.
Yep.
You have to do a hash for to make a block appear, or a slash symbol to make a sloping block appear, and things like that. So you kind of draw the level in text.
Yeah.
And then when you load it up into the game, you can see it there, beautifully rendered in sort of rubbish hand-drawn graphics drawn by me.
That sounds really good, actually.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that does sound like a lot of fun.
So yeah, download the game, make some levels.
Excellent.
That's it from me.
Okay, so I present a film review and music show on Glastonbury FM, 107.1 if you're in the area. I think they're getting a new transmitter soon. So
how wide's the area?
It's pretty small.
Glastonbury area, basically.
Yeah, Glastonbury Street and Wells is the area, but they are getting a new transmitter. But anyway, but you can find it online.
Yeah.
Glastonbury FM, I think it's .org.uk, I think.
And you can listen live.
You can listen live. I also produce podcast highlights of my show without any music. Well, it's usually like top and tailed music.
Mm-hmm.
Search for Movie Mashup. That's one word, no camel case, no capitalization. On iTunes or your podcasting app of choice on your phone or whatever portable device.
Yeah, and you've got a Facebook page for that as well.
I have a Facebook page called Andy's Movie Mashup.
Cool. And yes. You can find, if you go to the Good Robot Andy's website, click on the About button in the top right, you can find links to all this stuff.
Yes.
And all the other stuff that we sometimes plug.
So I live for movies. That's it.
I live for code.
And tennis. And I do some work sometimes too.
Cool, well that's your lot for episode 9. See you next time.
Yeah, bye.